I have a system that is a top of the line system. And that's because that's what I want to give to our patients. You may say, oh, you can't afford a copay, so why do you have to check into a kiosk? Because you deserve it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Healthcare IT News, a new Changemaker podcast, a HIMSCast production. My name is Mike Milliard. I'm executive editor of Healthcare IT News. And in this podcast series, we're spotlighting the winners of the inaugural 2021 HIMSS Changemaker Awards, which recognize healthcare executives and technology leaders who rigorously challenge the status quo in their journeys to build a brighter health future. Our guest today for the Changemaker podcast is Isaiah Nathaniel, who's the Chief Information Officer of Delaware Valley Community Health, based in Philadelphia. Welcome, Isaiah. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
So to kick things off, perhaps say a bit about yourself and a bit about Delaware Valley Community Health. You're based in Philadelphia, but you're a multi-site organization, obviously. Who do you serve? What's your patient population like?
Well, first, I just want to start, Mike, and just say thank you to HIMSS for the acknowledgement on this award and its inaugural class. I think it's dynamic, and anything HIMSS does is premier and top of the line for any chief information officer, anyone trying to grow their career. So, one, I just want to say thank you to HIMSS for the accepting the nomination, but also accepting me as one of the winners. And I want to congratulate all of the other 11 and even the Lifetime Achievement Award for George. I think that is phenomenal that HIMSS is recognizing him. So who am I? Isaiah Nathaniel. I just happen to be by day the Chief Information Officer for Delaware Valley Community Health. And as you said, Mike, we're actually in Pennsylvania. And we have 8 locations, soon to be 9, in about 3 weeks here. And we serve the underserved market. We are a FQHC. And what that means is we're a federally qualified health center. And a federally qualified health center, our missions, all of our missions, is to serve the underserved regardless of the ability to pay. So that means if you have commercial insurance, we will see you. If you have no insurance at all, we will see you. And then we're made whole by the federal government on the cost for that actual visit. So what does that mean for us as a 51-year-old organization? That means we have 50,000 patient lives that we see unduplicated. That's 71,000. We'd see about 159,000 visits per year. And that's in the traditional primary care space. So that's adult medicine, internal medicine, optometry, behavioral health, women's health, OBGYN, dental, pediatric, MAT services, and optometry. So those are all the services that we offer. We have about 350 employees, and 77 of them are actual providers for us. And one of the things we're most proud about throughout this pandemic, we did not lay anyone off. We actually increased our employee count. I like to say that because that shows you the power of FQHCs, the power of what we do in this healthcare industry and this continuity of care with our hospital partners.
Wow, you do it all. You got a full plate there. And I should say before we move on, you know, congratulations for this award. That's it's clearly well earned. So, you know, talk a bit about this busy past year. The pandemic has tested us all, and I'm sure it's been no exception there, especially in a place that was pretty, you know, like many spots on the East Coast, was hard hit pretty early during this. You know, what have been some lessons that you've taken away from this past year?
One of the lessons that I've learned personally is that my position with any organization is valued. And I said this outside of the CEO of any healthcare organization, the top two most needed executives at in the middle of a pandemic is the CMO, Chief Medical Officer, and the CIO, Chief Information Officer. And one of the things I'm proud about is the fact that my Chief Medical Officer and I, we have a great relationship. So when we're pivoting, when she's having to make clinical decisions about testing or vaccination, because we're also a vaccination site, not only for our local and city governments, but for the White House as well. We're part of that first cohort to receive direct distribution of the federal vaccine. So anytime we're pivoting, you know, the systems are important. So she can't administer a vaccine without our EHR being able to do that, without all of the systems being ready to report internally and then externally as well. We have to give our information to not only our local and state, but to the White House as well. So if your system isn't working properly, then you cannot serve patient lives the way that you need to. And I'm very happy that we were able to do that this year.
Was there a lot of kind of learning on the fly that you had to do as this was happening, or did you feel pretty well set up as the pandemic began?
I'll say it this way, Mike. The CDC's website was a favorite in all of my devices because as everything changed, I mean, we had to be making sure we were up to date with all the changes, not just from a clinical perspective, but from a technology perspective, but from also from a billing perspective, from an operational perspective. When you close your doors to that many patient lives, you have to make sure you're still serving them. So we had to make sure, one, we were able to see them where they were, introducing telehealth. We had to make sure we got all of our co-pays, make sure all of our intake management platform. But then on the back end, making sure you're able to stay whole as an organization to keep all of those people employed. So the financial had to be intact. So it was just this mad dash to do everything that you needed to do. But one of the things I am most proud about is that we had the proper systems to be able to do that. We had the proper systems to go to those two T's, the telehealth and the telework. So without an equitable and sufficient system, we were unable to continue business, and we were able to do that at Delaware Valley Community Health.
We've seen some pretty staggering percentages, for providers who were using telehealth, on a limited basis, and then all of a sudden we're using it as, the lion's share of their care encounters. How much did you guys scale up with telehealth as this was going on?
So being in the urban market, we did not have telehealth because it wasn't reimbursed, because it was thought of that urban markets, you didn't need telehealth. It was more reserved for that rural area. But being in the inner city, we did not have telehealth. And so we put telehealth in a week and a half. And we went from zero telehealth to 100% telehealth. So that just gives you where we went from to where we were. And I think that's part of the reason why I was recognized as the change maker, to be able to make that kind of a pivot that quickly. It was already on my 5-year strategic plan, but that 5-year got cut to 2 weeks in a matter of moments. And so we went from zero to 100, and we found it to be so successful that the patients actually like it, to some of the reports that are coming. So now we're looking to stabilize it as an effective service line option for our patients.
Yeah, that was my next question about, what size of the pie is it going to be going forward? You're going to stick with it, huh?
Yeah, we actually made it a strategic goal this year.
Excellent. What about interoperability data exchange, which, have been long-time Sisyphean challenges in healthcare? We're making some progress, but, certainly the pandemic has put a spotlight on some gaps in ensuring that the right data is there at the right time for the right folks. Did you feel like you were in a pretty good position there? We've heard a lot of stories about folks reporting in their public health data with phones and fax machines, obviously still. Or did you feel like your infrastructure was pretty well, to get information among your sites and reporting out?
That's a great question. I'll take it in a couple of chunks, if you don't mind. The 21st Century Cures Act is a groundbreaking legislation from the ONC and CMS. And I, for one, take it to heart. I think that it's how you solve a pandemic. Before the pandemic, I was one of those CIOs that were on the fence. I was saying, do we really need this or do we not? But then you throw in the pandemic and you really see the need for public health reporting. And I think for all of the good and all the bad that may, whatever side of the fence you're on with the 21st Century Cures Act, one thing that we all can say is that we need to be able to handle things from a technology perspective quicker and easily. And so a lot of the interoperability rules and the acts, they're pushing us toward this. But one of the things I'm grateful for in Delaware Valley Community Health, being in the primary care space, we were well prepared. And what I mean by that, SDOH data, social determinants of health data, population health data. I've had a population health management tool since 2012. So all it is really just making sure those data elements are easily transferable, be the CCD or the CCDA, to all of our referring partners. So for us, it's just shoring that our data is equitable, also that it's secure, and that it's able to be exchanged in the format that's needed. So as of right now, I'm very, very happy with where we are in the technology stack. And I'm looking forward to introducing the 21st Century Cures Act into our organization effectively.
Excellent. And, you know, how have you guys been doing with vaccine outreach? So, you know, what sort of patient engagement tools and strategies have you been using to get as many folks in there for their shots as possible?
Great question. So to date, we have done close to 18,000 vaccines since we've started. And we've done it through a variety of means. We've changed our website, adding online scheduling specifically for vaccines. We've done some outreach with text messaging campaigns, with email campaigns, using our patient portal as a method to reach out to our actual users. One of the things I'm also proud about is the fact that we have well over 12,000 of our patients in our actual patient portal. So it's another tool for us to use to be able to do that. And I know that's higher than the national statistic of the use of patient portal, but we really strive hard here at Delaware Valley Community Health to have many avenues to be able to reach out to our patients. So we used a hybrid, a myriad. We also were doing phone calls, you know, the natural reach out for all of those that are of the older population that don't have technology. So while I'm a CIO and technology is my job, I also understand our patients and that we have this wide variety of patients who may have technology or may not, but we still need to be able to reach out to them effectively.
So technology is your job, but as we all know, the job of the CIO has evolved and broadened pretty considerably, you know, over the past 10 years or so. You know, it's technology is your job, but you're a strategic leader, and you're the guy who's kind of setting, you know, a lot of the strategic imperatives as you look forward. So as we kind of hopefully are emerging from the pandemic, and you know, we can be looking towards a new normal, what's on your radar screen as far as new strategies for the health system and how technology is going to enable it?
Yeah, so it's interesting because we are, as an executive team, going through our strategic reset right now. So this is top of mind for me. One of my top priorities is cybersecurity. I will not be shy or bashful or be one of those CIOs and say, oh, I'm not looking at cybersecurity, I'm good. No. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at how to become more zero trust than not. A lot of the things that we're seeing our data that's being reported to me, I think we need to move forward with a stronger cybersecurity perspective. The next thing on my list is just the stabilization phase. So to some of our earlier comments, it's, you know, what are you doing? All the things that you've changed. I'm looking to stabilize that in our organization, stabilize telehealth, stabilize intake management. But also one of the other things is looking at our time to providers, making sure that we can get as quick to our providers as possible. And also looking at the urgent care model and how do we in primary care do urgent care. Second to that, under that urgent care umbrella is RPM, remote patient monitoring. How do we introduce that in a fashion that if you're home using that telehealth model that you can still give us your blood pressure because that's important in primary care, that blood pressure, that BMI reading. So how do we really introduce? So that's probably my second strategic goal is really introducing remote patient monitoring into our organization.
Terrific. And yeah, certainly remote patient monitoring has its own cybersecurity concerns as well. When you're dealing with a lot of data in motion and a lot of, you know, you get the patient there as the X factor as well. So that's got its own set of challenges.
I agree. I think just coupling all of those things together is why I put cybersecurity first, because without a great cybersecurity plan, everything else I do would be at risk.
Yeah, I've heard of this ransomware that's going around a little bit. it's been a bit of a challenge recently. Yeah, for sure. You know, are there lessons that you've taken from, you know, dealing with this pandemic that you think will leave you in good stead as you kind of move forward and embrace, you know, the strategies we've been talking about?
Yeah, the lessons of this pandemic are one, if you don't get up every day and enjoy what you do, get out the way. I've been in the office since March of 2020, and I do that because I enjoy what I do. One of the things I've learned is that if you're not enjoying what you're doing, and that's personal or professional, get out the way and let someone else do it. And so that's one of the lessons that I've learned outside of the pandemic, just from a perspective of putting it into perspective, right? The reality is that life is too short. And if you're not doing things you're passionate about, then you're wasting your time. And I'm not going to waste my time. I love what I do. I enjoy getting up every day knowing that I can put technology in front of people who others may think that they don't deserve it. I have a system that is a top of the line system. And that's because that's what I want to give to our patients. You may say, oh, you can't afford a copay. So why do you have to check in through a kiosk? Because you deserve it. You know, and then when we have our telehealth workers or our telework workers, excuse me, when we have mothers and fathers who are single parents and they're able to, we're able to give them a laptop, a brand new state-of-the-art laptop so that they can pay their bills by doing their work. You know, that's why I get up every day. That's what I've learned from this pandemic is that technology, what I do is bridging the gap between life and death in some instances for individuals.
I had one of my next questions, you know, one of the most gratifying things about being a CIO there, but I think you've kind of just answered that. It sounds like a very fulfilling job, and it sounds like you're doing quite well with it. I ask this a lot of folks because I often find the answers to be pretty, illuminating. What new or emerging technologies are you particularly excited about as you look at towards some of the leading edge stuff that's out there?
AI and cyberkinetics is where I'm trying to be innovative at. I think that is a dynamic space to be in. One of the questions that I'm asking myself is the need versus impact question. Where is the true need? How can I generate impact? But AI and cyberkinetics is really next in the innovative stages for me.
And do you find that your clinicians are as enthusiastic about AI? I know that it's a mixed reaction sometimes.
You know, clinicians are a great bunch to deal with. I think that even in our organization, we have just the same as our patients, some that love technology and some don't. But what I find has been useful in a lot of my strategies is making it useful for them. So a lot of it is not just putting it out of the box and just saying, hey, go do this. It's actually customizing it for as best as we can for where you are as a provider on that clinician scale. So if you really like technology, okay, we'll give you the EHR on your mobile device. We'll give you tablets to do telehealth. You know, if you're one that don't like it, we'll make sure your workflows within your actual clinical subset or your specialty is the way that you like to do it. Or we'll add some levels of AI to take that burden off of you. So I'm a real big proponent of the quadruple aim. I know we're just officially in the triple aim, but I would love for that quadruple aim to be official and a part of the IHS Institute's a kind of nomenclature. So that provider burnout is very big for me.
Yes, absolutely. And what are some ways that you work to enhance that? Other ways that you work to enhance the provider experience? How do you guys do work on EHR optimization, for instance, or other automation around that?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough that I have meaningful use as a department reporting to me. So I get to inject a lot of great workflows by that department. And I also have an informaticist at my disposal who actually reports to me. So yes, we do a lot of EHR. So the EHR itself is something that I oversee, and that's our suite of services. So that's not just our EHR, that's our EDR, that's our population health, that's our mobile applications, our telehealth applications, all of those actually report to me. So I get to introduce great workflows and optimize them accordingly per specialty. So it's a fun thing to do when you're taking something and molding it to make it equitable for what we were talking about before, that clinician experience.
Any other projects you've got cooking there that you want to, talk about or make people aware of?
Yeah, we have some great, so our hospital partners are Temple University and Jefferson. So we have some great interoperability projects going with Temple University right now. I won't get into the nitty gritty because we're in the early middle stages of it, but we have some great primary care to hospital interoperability things working in. The 21st Century Cures Act has given us a lot of leg up, I will say, in that nature.
Yeah, I suppose I should ask, how well do you guys feel you're in a pretty good position to, be in compliance, which, I suppose you should be since the date was April 5th. But, you got some rules that you got to maintain now. How have you guys been doing with that?
We've been doing quite well. We were prepared because I was aware of it be coming maybe February of 2020 when it was originally released that it would be coming. So I followed it all the way through the public comment period. So we were well prepared and we're still unprepared. We're going through some of the EHR certification stuff right now. My team is, but we were in a good position because my job is to put us into the right position. And so knowing since February 2020, what was actually being proposed, I was preparing us in bites and chunks and then throw a pandemic in it, you know. It got a little
no distractions.
But now I think we are focusing and headstrong into making sure we meet the deadlines.
Terrific. You know, I can't believe it, but we're already less than a month out from the big, you know, HIMSS 21 show in Vegas, where you will be honored with your Changemaker Award. What are you looking forward to seeing out there? Any special, you know, education sessions or keynotes or things on the show floor you're especially looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to getting on a plane again. You know, after 2 years of not traveling at all, I think that was my moral and social responsibility not to do that. I'm very happy to be vaccinated, both fully vaccinated, my family and I. And I'm happy to get back on a plane and see people and network with colleagues. I'm looking forward to the entire conference. I will be there the entire week. I booked the entire week just to make sure I enjoy the experience. I'm looking forward to the networking. I'm looking forward to meeting some new vendors in the RPM space. I'm looking forward to the keynotes. There's some great keynotes that are identified. I've watched the agenda. So I'm just looking forward to the experience that is HIMSS.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to it too. I hope to see you out there. It would be great to meet in person. But congratulations again on your award and thanks for doing this this podcast today.
My pleasure, Mike.